You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's see if that works out much better. Pastor Solomon, good afternoon to you once again. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Lovely, lovely. Now it's abundantly clear. Thank you very much for your patience and influence. Please forgive me for interrupting you there. You were giving an answer to our question. Would you like me to repeat the question, or you still remember it?
Yeah, I'm still with you and still with the question.
Okay.
Great. Yes. So John 11:35 simply says Jesus wept.
Yes.
And we know that Jesus did not weep because of his friend Lazarus who died, because he knew he was going to raise Lazarus. Warren Wiersbe, a Bible scholar, says the following. He says Jesus wept. And this, he says, is the shortest and yet deepest verse in Scripture. Okay. And you know, if you ponder on this and you realize, here we have the God of this universe, the entire universe, who leaves his kingdom, takes his time to come and sympathize and empathize with human sadness, sorrow, human brokenness. And this is humanity that has rebelled against him. And so in view of this human distress, Jesus weeps right here with the crowd, the mourners, the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha.
Right.
And the classic book, Desire of Ages, says the following. He was moved by human sorrow. His tender, pitying heart is ever awakened to the sympathy of the suffering. He weeps with those that weep, and he rejoices with those that rejoice.
I like that. I feel like you've already answered my next question. I was going to ask, what does this moment reveal about God's heart in the face of our grief?
Yeah, sure. The heart of God is huge. It's big. It shows us that God doesn't remain distant from our suffering. He draws near.
Right.
In our moments of greatest pain or our discouragement, is the time when divine help is the nearest to us.
Right.
From Isaiah 53, verse 3, says Jesus is described here as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
Right.
His intimate understanding of human pain and sorrow is not a silent God.
Right.
In human grief and suffering, he's an ever-present God in time of trouble, says the psalmist in Psalm 46. So he's a God that feels it with us, not just feeling our pain, but healing the pain.
Yeah.
He's the God of all comfort. And you know, Psalm 56 verse 8 says the following. You keep track of all my sorrows.
Oh.
You have collected all my tears in your bottle. What does this say? God is present.
Yeah,
he is present. He knows what we're going through. And he's a God of comfort, and a God that comes close to his children in the time of their deepest need and deepest distress.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful line right there, Punis. So teach us, how can we as people offer emotional presence instead of just solutions when others are hurting?
Let me say, and I hope your viewers are not going to be offended by my second part of what I'm going to say.
It's okay.
Show up, but okay. Shut up.
Job style.
You know, sometimes we feel pressured to say the right thing
when
someone is grieving, but often what people really need most is our presence, not our answers.
Okay.
Someone once said, our empathetic presence and being a compassionate listener can make all the difference in someone's journey toward healing.
Okay.
And I've alluded to this passage, Romans 12, 15, that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Right.
It doesn't say fix those who weep.
Yeah.
It says weep, feel it with those who weep. And you know, how can we not deal with Job's friends?
Hey,
you know, Job. I think it's chapter 2.
Yes.
Before his friends, they sat there for 7 days silent.
Yes.
And I admire them,
Me
to
too.
sit
Me
for
too.
7 days
I think that's the
silent, and
solution right
you know,
there.
and right there is the solution. You know, the best moment and the worst moment came when later they started explaining and tried
Yeah.
to play God,
Right.
and they only caused confusion and hurt.
Yeah.
So I want to run through maybe let me see, three or four points that I think
Okay.
are very important
Okay.
for us, you know, in answering this question about how can we offer emotional presence instead of, you know, solutions which we are so quickly to, you know, to give. Number
Right.
one, active listening
Okay.
without divided attention. In other words, undivided attention.
Right.
Just listen, just listen. Number two, validate the person's emotions. Often people seek support, not for solutions, but to have their emotions acknowledged and accepted
Okay.
without judgment. For example, you know, saying words like, I hear you,
Yeah.
and your feelings are completely valid, or absolutely, I can understand why you feel that way. I'm here to support you. All right, so active listening to validate the emotions. And
Right.
three, express empathy.
Okay.
Expressing empathy involves showing understanding and compassion and genuine concern for someone else's emotions and
Right,
experience.
right.
We can say things like, I'm here for you. I can't imagine how tough this must be, or
Okay.
you're not alone in this. And then the last one is ask open-ended questions. Instead of providing solutions, ask
Okay.
open-ended questions, which encourage the person to express more about their feelings. For
Right.
example, tell me more,
Okay.
etc. You know, so these four thoughts I thought would be maybe very useful for your listeners
Beautiful.
in how to be an active listener
Beautiful,
and
beautiful.
expressing empathy instead of giving advice.
So you've also touched on the Job encounter, and I like it as well. I believe that's the best solution personally. What makes it hard though, when it's for us to just sit with others in their pain instead of rushing to cheer them up, instead of rushing to open our mouths? What's so difficult about just keeping quiet?
You know, let me deal with that first part. What makes it so hard for us to sit with others? I think that's the key there.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for us to sit with others?
Right.
It's easier for us just to give advice and move on.
Right.
And the reason why it's so hard, I suspect, is our rushed lives. I did refer to it early on this week. We live such rushed lives.
Okay.
This doctor, Dr. Fickett, who wrote a book, When Giving Hurts,
Okay.
and he says it's easy to hand out sandwiches, it's easy to hand out soup, it's easy to hand out food parcels, it's easy to do all of these things. But what people really need is for us to sit down
Okay.
and talk to them.
Okay.
People want to be listened to. People want to feel that we are there with them. And so giving hurts them more, because what they really need is for us to sit down and listen to them. There's something that we call mind space. Mind space. I've got too much that
Okay.
occupies my mind.
Okay.
And so we're quick to say, listen, listen, let me tell you what you must do, and I promise you will feel much better. Just cheer up. It's
Okay.
like we don't have time to sit down and just listen. So, you know, the mind is full of its own things, you know, and that obviously speaks of how self-centered our lives have become.
Right.
Another one is attention span. You know, we can't sit down, not even for a few minutes, without being distracted
Right.
or losing focus. And you can guess, your guess is as good as mine. You know, what's the reason for our difficulty to have a solid attention span and to focus? It's our digital screens. You
Yeah.
know, our screens have hijacked us. Our screens have stolen our focus and attention. And it's very hard for us to have a sit down and just to allow the person to talk. We are so distracted. Our attention is so diverted. And these are some of the reasons that makes it hard for us to sit down
Okay.
with others. It's
Okay.
easier just to give advice and move on.
Parting shot, Mpundisi, when has someone's empathy not their advice, their empathy meant the most to you?
Sure. Now you've got me. I have to think deep on this one. You know, as a pastor, you are all the time on the side of showing empathy.
Okay.
You know, but I guess we all have a story.
Okay.
And if I have to allow my mind to go, you know, which will probably go back way, 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 way back when I was 11 years old, when my dad died.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was a very lonely period. You know, a son needs his dad, and suddenly, you know, he's just gone. But I remember so clearly how my mom and my dad's side of the family, how they showed up for us as a family to support us. And they knew what we were going through, and they showed up. But not only my mom's and dad's side of the family, also my church family.
Mm.
I can clearly remember the men of the church.
Oh, okay.
How they showed up in my growing years.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And today I can just thank God for supportive and empathetic environment that He placed myself in, that sustained me during this time.
Yeah.
And if I really, that would probably be my significant moment where I have experienced this empathy because people showed up.
Yeah. I love that. It's a beautiful story there, Funis. I'm wondering if those men that showed up and every member of the church that showed up knew exactly how powerful their ministry was to you, to make you remember it years down the line. But we thank God for people who minister not with their words, but with their actions. Funis, thank you very much for your time and your insights. We always appreciate it. We're looking forward to our conversation tomorrow.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.